Some early season NFL lines are out and the Rams are already underdogs. That's next on Locked On Rams.
You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks for making Locked On Rams your first listen every single day, free and available wherever you get your podcasts. My name is Travis Rogers. I am not only your host for Locked On Rams, I also host the Rams pre- and post-game show on their flagship station, ESPN LA 710, right here in Los Angeles. Thanks for making us a part of what you do every day. Click that subscribe button in your podcast feed. Why don't you do that for me right now? That way you get Locked On Rams every time there is a new episode. It is right there in your feed. And you can learn a little bit more about your favorite team. And while you're doing that, why don't you shoot on over to the Locked On Rams YouTube page as well, and you can also subscribe to that. Today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. Okay, here's what I want to talk about. The dates for training camp are officially out, and what you might expect. That's coming up in just a little bit. Plus, the weak link in the Rams chain, at least arguably, is probably their secondary. They got some grades in on that group. We'll do that coming up in just a bit. But let's start right here. Some lines have already come out for the opening couple of games of the season. Of course, training camp is about a month away. And then about a month after that is the start of the regular season. And of course, as the defending Super Bowl champs, the Rams will be given the honor of opening the season at home, SoFi Stadium, against a team that a lot of people think will come out of the AFC at the end of the line, the Buffalo Bills, a team that, you know, if the overtime rules were a little bit more equitable, might have been about the Rams' scariest opponent had they gotten to the Super Bowl and Kansas City hadn't nipped them at the end of the line the way that they did. Of course, we're talking about the Buffalo Bills. The opening lines out, and obviously there's a long way to go and a million things can happen, namely injuries and some other things, but the Rams are actually underdogs. Now, it's literally the slightest underdog that you could possibly be. Right now, it is a half a point, right? The Rams are one-point dogs at home against the Buffalo Bills, but I do think that it's interesting that they're a dog at all. We'll start right here, and then we'll go to week two against Atlanta, where the exact opposite is taking place. But the Rams are the defending Super Bowl champions. And let's just talk just very broadly about what we're looking at. The defending Super Bowl champions, they're bringing back a quarterback who led them to a championship. They're bringing back the Triple Crown wide receiver in Cooper Kupp, who had one of the great wide receiver years that you're going to see in your lifetime or mine or any other. He just had a terrific year along the way. You still have the most terrifying and dominating defensive presence in the league in Aaron Donald, and you just have Jalen Ramsey coming off of a couple of shoulder surgeries, who appears to be ready to go, played half the year with bum shoulders, and still was the number one corner in the entire league. All of those guys are coming back, and they're the defending Super Bowl champs, and they're dogs at home. You don't think Sean McVay is going to maybe mention something like that? You don't think that the conversations about what they are and how they are perceived and what the rest of the league and the media and everything else and the way that the rest of the world sees them is being talked about right now? Of course it is. Of course it is. Now, it's not like they're being disrespected and they're two touchdown underdogs. It's not like that. But you would think at home, opening night, even if the Bills are a very good team, and they are, that they would get the respect of a defending Super Bowl champ. Guess not. I'm sure that that's just the way that Sean McVay likes, because I do think that one of the big things that not just this Rams team, but every team that wins a Super Bowl, every team that is competing and finally gets to the top, the number one challenge is, okay, go do it again. It's never easy to win a Super Bowl. I would never in a million year dream of saying that it's easy to win a Super Bowl. It's incredibly difficult. But I do think it's easier than trying to defend a Super Bowl, because everybody that comes into SoFi, every time the Rams roll in to a visiting stadium, it's the defending Super Bowl champs are coming in, and there's no better way to make a name for yourself than beating the guy that's considered the best. So Sean McVay and the players, and you know, Michael Jordan was famous for this, that finding slights where none existed, right? I'll find a reason for you to think that I'm not going to get this thing done. Well, watch this. And Michael Jordan would literally make stuff up out of thin air. Well, you don't have to make anything up in this situation. You're not getting the respect that the defending champ. Now it's a point. It's a half a point, right? So it's basically a pick 'em. You're basically just picking a game that the game's going to land on one, or I guess zero, I guess could swing it. If you get a tie, then the Rams, I guess, technically would win the game if you've got action on the Rams at that point. But they're going to be looking for ways to get motivated. And I think that this is a very good way to do it. As for the second game of the season, that one is against far less stiff competition. That's against the Atlanta Falcons. They're nearly a 2-touchdown favorite in that one. It's a 13.5 point spread. The Rams are favorite in that one. Atlanta is going to be one of the weaker links in the NFL chain coming into this season. So there are some opportunities for the Rams here. And when you look at the schedule and you look at the way that it sets up, this is I love the opener. I think that it was going to be them or the Cowboys. You knew that those were the two ways that that was going to go. So when you had the Cowboys, or I should say when you had the Bills as the opener, you knew it was going to be tight. You knew that it was going to be a game that nobody was really going to run away and hide, you, or at least as far as the spread goes. But this next one, win, lose, or draw, right? Win against Buffalo. Now you get to go to Atlanta. You get to play against a team that you probably should handle fairly easily, or at least as easily as you can expect in an NFL environment. And now you're 2-0 and feeling pretty good about yourself. Lose that game, and, you know, depending on how it goes, of course, but at least now you get a chance to really make it right against Atlanta. And okay, now we're 1-1, played a tough Bills team. It's week one. Now we got our sea legs among us. And off and running, and here we go. And the rest of the season is coming along the way. I think that there are nothing but good options here for the Rams, assuming that that first game is at least in competitive, and it will be. I think that the Rams' great challenge is going to be finding a way to get to that place that they need to be week after week after week. Because when you're climbing the mountain, you got to get to the top. When you've been to the top, and now you have to go back again, you know, human nature. You can start thinking, well, maybe I can catch my breath here. I can take my foot off the gas a little bit here. And that is poison, right? That is the absolute worst way to go about it, because we know what happens in professional sports. Everybody's good. Believe it or not, the Jacksonville Jaguars have good players. Believe it or not, a team like the Houston Texans has good players. Believe it or not, a team like the New York Jets has good players. The Atlanta Falcons, they got some guys. So if you're not ready, you can get got. But I love that opening game. It's going to get them very, very sharp. And spread or otherwise, underdog or otherwise, you know that Sean McVay is going to use that to the advantage of his team. Now, what they're going to have to do is they're going to have to get some pretty good play out of that secondary. We'll talk about them coming up next. Speaking of all those lines we were just talking about, betonline.net is your number one source for all of your betting needs and sports information for all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's NHL playoffs, Major League Baseball. They got it all at BetOnline. It's your continued source for all your sports wagering information, including live betting, esports, and more. And BetOnline.net remains the best spot for all your scores, podcasts, and news this season. BetOnline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events, including MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Okay, so the Rams, when you look at it, right, there are three facets of NFL football, of all football. There's offense, there's defense, and there's special teams. And then you break down the offense, you got your skill positions, you got wide receivers, the defense, you've got your front, you got your middle, and then you got your back end, right? If we're going through all of those things, the two things that the Rams have struggled with the most over the last couple of seasons has been the secondary, right? And you could tell that they knew that that's something that they felt needed to be upgraded, because when they went into the draft, they spent 4 of their 8 draft picks on guys in the secondary. Pro Football Focus, as they like to do this time of year, they kind of went through it and figured out where do the Rams rank. Now, it's a little bit misleading. They have them ranked number 9 overall, okay? Which, you know, 32 teams, you're inside the top 10, barely inside the top 10, but you're inside the top 10. That's not the end of the world. That's something that you could certainly live with. It's something that the Rams were certainly able to win with last year. But I think it's so top heavy that it bears some conversation. This is what Pro Football Focus wrote. This ranking would look a lot different without Jalen Ramsey factoring in. The Rams secondary would be closer to tier 5 than tier 2 without him. That's just how valuable elite cornerbacks are. Ramsey has averaged only 477 yards allowed per season in a Ram uniform, despite routinely shadowing top receivers. Okay, so what does that mean, right? That you know, here on Locked On Rams. We'll talk a little bit about the numbers, but it's more about, you know, what does it mean? What does it look like? What does that mean when you sit down on Sunday to kind of watch these games? What it means is that Jalen Ramsey's covering for a lot of guys, right? Jalen Ramsey is so good that he takes basically what, okay, here's a better example of this. You know how sometimes on a group, you have a guy that's kind of the anchor of your GPA. Like you need a team GPA of 2.0, right? Or whatever the coach sets up. So you have a couple of guys that are really good, and then you got a couple of guys at the back end that are really good at school, right? They get some guys throwing up some 4.0s. Then you can slide in a couple of 1.5s, and it all evens out, and you're ready to go. Jalen Ramsey is the valedictorian in this analogy. He's so good that he raises the score of everybody else to not just competent, but better than average. So I think the better question is not where do they rank as a group necessarily, but where do they rank outside of Jalen Ramsey? Jalen Ramsey, like they said, 477 yards on average the last few seasons in a Rams uniform, and that's covering the best players in the sport. That's not just because he gets really lucky with some draws. It's because he's that good and he's dealing with that many good players along the way. Now, of course, Darius Williams is gone. Darius Williams was a good player for the Rams. They replaced him with Troy Hill, who used to be here but didn't play a ton with Cleveland last year. So now he's back and he's ready to go. They drafted Dakobe Durant. They drafted Darian Kendrick. They also have David Long Jr., who a year ago was a bit of a mixed bag and then played very, very well in the postseason. So you've got another opportunity right there to have some guys. Now you look at the safeties. You've got Jordan Fuller. You've got Taylor Rapp. You've got Nick Scott. You've got some guys. But when you look at it collectively, they're good. When you look at them individually, it's a group outside of Jalen Ramsey that is, you know, they're all right. And I think this is where Raheem Morris comes in. I think this is where a guy like Morris makes his stripes, where he has to find a way to use, you know, now again, it's a nice problem to have that I have Jalen Ramsey and then the talent drops off pretty significantly after that. But I do have Jalen Ramsey and they've done a very good job of coming up with the way that needs to work. The Rams are going to win games because Aaron Donald gets home. The Rams are going to win games because Aaron Donald blows up running games. The Rams are going to win games because Matthew Stafford is that good and Cooper Kupp, and they went out and get Allen Robinson, and maybe Odell is back, and Tyler Higbee can have big games that we've seen him have over and over again. But all of those things aside, you're going to have to stop somebody every once in a while. We saw what happened in the Tampa game, in the divisional round. And all of a sudden, the Rams were not able to stop anybody. The Rams were getting carved up pretty good. You know, it could happen to anybody. Certainly, it's going to happen if Tom Brady's on the other side. But you're going to need every facet of your defense to be able to at least do something. And you can't rely on Jalen Ramsey all that much. The good news is they threw a lot of assets at it. They spent a lot of draft capital to go out there and try to shore up that position. And I think that they'll probably ultimately get where they want to go. But when you're starting this, and especially with the addition of Bobby Wagner, because the other part of the defense that you would maybe look at and think, hey, you know, maybe they're not quite up to snuff the way they are at some other spots along the field, was linebacker. Well, Bobby Wagner takes care of that pretty quickly, right? But at the back end, especially in safety and especially that opposite side, whether it's Troy Hill or whether it's, you know, Dante, whoever they ultimately end up putting in that spot, a lot of pressure. The ball's coming that way. The ball's not going to Jalen Ramsey's side. The ball is coming that way, and the ball is coming over the middle of the field because that's where Jalen Ramsey isn't more often than not. That's the part that when I'm coming into this, if we get to the halfway point of the season and that part of the defense is still holding up and looking pretty sharp, I think the Rams are going to be in a really, really good spot. Now, if it's not, if it's a weak link, then you got to get creative. Now you got to try to maybe, like we've talked about before, some of those guys that you drafted who you're thinking, okay, maybe they'll be ready in a year or a year after that, they may need to be ready to go right away. Because if the guys that are there right now aren't up for it in the moment, Robert Rochelle or whoever it might be, you better be ready to go if you were a late 6th, 7th, 8th, whatever round draft pick you are, right? Just because you're new, just if you make this team, you're going to have to be ready to play because they've done it over and over. They did it with John Johnson a few years ago, right? John Johnson out of Boston College was a guy that, yeah, we'll see what, and all of a sudden, halfway through the season, he's starting. Turned out he's a really good football player. Turned out that he's a football player that other people want. That's why he's in Cleveland. But this is what I mean. One of those guys that maybe don't have a ton of expectations for right now is going to have to step up if, in fact, Troy Hill or whoever gets the first shot at that other spot isn't ready to go. And speaking of ready to go, training camp is just around the corner at UCI. I'll tell you what you're going to see coming up next. All right, so this is how you know that it's getting serious. This is how you know that it's late June. We've got a ways to go, but I am so unbelievably excited for the start of this season. It's funny, we had an event for my radio show, Travis and Sliwa, 710 ESPN in Los Angeles on Friday night. And all of the people that I work with at ESPN 710 were there, including the broadcast team for the Los Angeles Rams. Voice of the Rams, J.B. Long, was there. DeMarco Farr, who does sidelines for him. My partner on the pregame show, Kirk Morrison, was there. And the four of us got together, and we were kind of talking about the upcoming season. And it's funny. You know, we've known each other since the Rams came back. This will be our seventh season together. So we've done – this will be our seventh season together. And we were all just kind of looking at each other like, this is a little different. This is a little – because, look – other than the first year and first year with Jeff Fisher, there were no expectations. Just football's back in Los Angeles. Okay, let's see what it looks like. And it didn't look like much. Team wasn't very good. And they hired Sean McVay, and then it was, let's see if this guy knows what he's doing. And since then, it's been every year, okay, how far can they go? Can they make a Super Bowl run? Well, now we know that they are the defending Super Bowl champs. And just getting ready for this season and talking about it amongst ourselves the way that we did on Friday night, you could just kind of see everybody had a little bit of bounce in their step. Everybody was pretty excited about what's coming up here. Now, they're going to open up training camp July 23rd at UC Irvine, the way that they've done it since they've come back here. And let me just tell you this. If I get nothing out of this at all other than passing some information along, you really should go to Rams training camp at UCI. It is a great way to go see the Rams practice, to go see the way that they prepare. SoFi Stadium is amazing. It is absolutely amazing. And I would strongly recommend that anybody that's gotten an opportunity to go. It's also very expensive. I mean, it is. And I get it. That getting to a game is difficult. And not everybody's going to be able to do it. This is a good way if maybe you can't do that, because you can get very close. You get to see them do drills. You get to see them do a little bit of a controlled scrimmage. You get to see Sean McVay running around. You get to see Matthew Stafford, Cooper Kupp, Aaron Donald, and just watching these guys work and the precision in which it goes into it in a training camp environment is really, really cool. And the other part is you're around a million Rams fans. You know what? I'll go back when that very first year when they went to camp and we're out there, and it was more of a curiosity than anything else that when you looked around, first of all, the turnout was good, but it wasn't great. It was good. And there were as many Dallas Cowboys jerseys and Raiders jerseys and 49ers jerseys as there were anything else. Now you go out there, it's Rams fans. You're walking along and you're going to buy a bottle of water or something, and you just scream out, "Whose house?" You are getting dozens of people shouting back, "Rams house." It has changed a lot. It's an incredibly fun environment. Now, the Rams could have reported a little bit earlier had they opted to. Like I said, they're coming in on July 23rd, both rookies and veterans. That's the day that they need to report on. They could have gotten about a week earlier. They could have called it July 18th. That's when Buffalo is going to retire, or I should say report for their camp, because obviously they're starting a little bit earlier than the other side. I like it. Look, the Rams are a veteran team. The Rams have some rookie players and some new guys that are going to need to get up to speed and going to need to learn some things along the way. But Cooper Kupp knows what he's doing. Matthew Stafford, Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, all these guys, these are not new guys. They know exactly how to keep themselves ready, how to get ready, and when it's time to go, it's time to go. Those extra days, give those guys a chance to relax for as long as they can, because once camp starts, other than maybe a bye week, other than maybe you have a Thursday night and you get a little bit of a mini bye, as they call it, where you don't have to play that weekend. You have to play Thursday and you don't have to play again until the following Sunday or maybe even Monday. It's all football all the time. And it is a real grind and you have to power through it. So why not take those extra 4 or 5 days? And Sean McVay too. Look, Sean McVay knows how to get ready, and I'm sure that he would like to have every minute possible, but he also understands that being fresh, both mentally and physically, is an incredibly important part of this. And especially when you're going up against Buffalo in that first game, you need to be crisp and ready to go. And they don't play any of their guys in the preseason, so none of those games are really going to have a ton of it as far as getting guys ready impact on it. Maybe some depth guys for sure. But your starters, they're not going to play a meaningful snap until it's go time against Buffalo. That's fantastic. So get out to training camp, enjoy it, mingle with Rams fans, tell everybody about the Locked On Rams podcast, and make sure that they click the subscribe button as well. Okay, that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Rams. Now for your second listen, why don't you make it the Locked On Rams NFL show, right? You got to check that out as well. Our national NFL experts and insiders keeping fans dialed in with the biggest stories and latest news from around the league, because an offseason does not equal a break in the action. Until next time, whose house? It's Locked On Rams' house.